You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer out west with Bobby Jean Bell and Jim Bell. I am sitting in for them, and my name is Tom Swearingen. Happy to have been asked by them again to guest host. And tonight's there's a special reason why I'm filling in tonight. Bobby Jean and Jim are traveling to celebrate the 100th birthday yesterday of Bobby Jean's mother. So what a wonderful occasion that is, and I'm happy to be here tonight. I want to remind you, if you didn't already know, or tell you if you are hearing it for the first time, that theme music that opens each week's show is courtesy of the Hot Texas Swing Band, titled Hot Texas. My guest tonight, I'm very, very happy to invite to the screen, Mickey Furman. Hello, Mickey.
Hello.
Yeah, good. Hello, yeah, everybody. We can see and hear you, and happy that you're joining us tonight. And for those that aren't familiar with Mickey, let me tell you a little bit about her. Mickey is an award-winning songwriter, singer-songwriter, and an author, and we're going to talk about both of those tonight. She's a Louisiana native, now living in Nashville, Tennessee, where she began singing in churches at the age of 7. And then at age of 13, she joined a Christian music band and toured and recorded with them as their star vocalist. And Mickey, I got to tell you, I Googled that band and the Jesus Christ Power and Light Company band. And I saw an album cover that was featured. And the album cover says, featuring Mickey Furman. So you were the star of that band, I think. At least that's what the cover said. And so she started touring. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. So let me bear with me just a minute. Anyway, she toured with that band and recorded with them as a star vocalist. And then during her high school years, Mickey headlined the 70s and 80s incarnation of the Louisiana Hayride, that venerable country music show. She was signed by big label MCA Records. She toured nationally and twice appeared on the Grand Ole Opry. And so obviously an accomplished musician. And then took a long break from touring, moved to Nashville to raise her family and work as a songwriter. She earned a degree as well, not in songwriting, but in industrial engineering, if I'm not mistaken, and had a career in construction management. And then in 2014, Mickey turned to literary writing and has twice been named a Western Writers of America Spur Award finalist for short fiction under her pen name, Vaughn McKee. And we're going to sure find out what that pen name is all about. So we're talking to Vaughn McKee tonight and Mickey Furman, all in the very same person. Writing fiction led her to recording Westbound, this album that I own. And it's a beautiful, wonderful album of Western music that received the 2013 National Cowboy Hall of Fame and Museum Wrangler Award for outstanding traditional Western album. She's going to sing a couple of songs or samples or parts of a couple of those songs tonight. And we'll have Mickey read from Comanche Moon, also I'm proud to have in my library, this book of short fiction, collection of 8 short fiction stories, each imaginative and wonderful. And we'll have her read some of that. So anyway, welcome Mickey. And we're going to go till 6:50, and that time's going to go by real quick. So I want to jump right into a couple of questions, and then make sure have time to share some music and also read from the book. So you grew up, if I'm not mistaken, in a musical home, but when did you start? I know you started performing because I shared that in your introduction when you're very young. When did you start writing songs?
Well, you know, it was a weird start, an inauspicious beginning, as they say. I was an asthmatic kid, very sick as a kid with asthma, and I still have to take medicine for that. You know, it was very strange that I began to sing. I credit that with kind of helping me overcome that. I first wrote a song that I may have now. It was stupid. You know, it wasn't much. It wasn't an award winner at all. Waiting for the bus when I was about 9 years old, I wrote a little song to pass the time because the bus made all these weird sounds and you could hear it coming from a couple of miles away. And that was the first one. But the first real song I wrote, I was probably 16, 17, something like that. Strangely, one of the very early songs I wrote is on the Westbound album.
Oh, which?
It's called Goin' Oklahoma.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goin' Oklahoma. Yeah, I wrote that when I was about 18 years old.
Okay.
So, yeah, it just seemed to kind of come along with it.
All right. And did you just decide one day that you were going to start writing, or it was just the muse hit you and it happened?
It was bubbling up in me. I had a manager at the time who really encouraged me, probably for monetary reasons, because he said, you know, if you record an album and you're also the songwriter, then you'll make a few more nickels that way. Why not? You know? And so I thought, okay, I'll give it a try, and started writing these songs. And once I started, I just really fell in love with I don't know, that whole process of just pulling the music and the words together and trying to think of a new way to say something that resonates with people.
Okay.
And I mean, I was writing a song this afternoon. It's a pocket vocation of mine.
Yeah. So what is your process for writing music? Do you start with lyrics or music, or they're simultaneous, or is there a pattern to how you create a song?
Typically, it's an idea, and every now and then there's a line that comes with it, but I know what it's about. It's almost like seeing a movie without thinking about the word, the dialogue. You're just kind of, you see the setting and the people and the situation. I write a lot by myself. I do some co-writing, but generally it's just me. So I just, I've learned to be patient. The idea will come. And I'll not try to rush it, and it'll follow me around for a while. I'll sing it in the car or noodle on the piano a little bit. And eventually, you know, something just sort of happens. It's there, and it wasn't the moment before, you know. I always liken it to being an archaeologist, that a good archaeologist, when he senses that there's something under that dirt, doesn't grab a shovel or a spade or a pick and try to get it out as fast as he can. He's very careful and uses a brush. And the care with which you dig up this song, which in a lot of songwriters' opinions, the song kind of exists, you know, and you're just discovering it. So if you use a shovel, you get one outcome, and if you use a brush, you get another.
Okay. Are you writing mostly, in terms of music, are you writing now mostly Western music or other genres as well?
I am. I'm having a really nice, really great time doing Western. I always did some Western music. As I said, Goin' Oklahoma was something that was in my repertoire when I was a teenager. And I had a Christian music deal. I had country kind of pop music deal. And I, being from Louisiana, I love blues and soul and everything. But my dad, who we can talk about as we progress, was the cowboy in my life as I was growing up. He was born in North Dakota and raised in Western Minnesota. And his family farm, they raised cattle, they sold and broke horses. And every summer, that's where I was immersed in that Western lifestyle. And he knew every Western song that had ever been written, I think. And he was always singing them. And when I started writing Western fiction, I started writing longer and longer short stories and finally, you know, thought, well, it's the story songs that really attract me. And when I got enough Western things that I wanted to put together an album and went in the studio, told my producer, I felt like my voice had just come home and the songs just fit and I fit them. And that's really where I'm enjoying being right now.
Yeah, nice. Well, your Western music is what I'm familiar with. And for those that have an opportunity to see you, they might get some of that Western music. I first saw you 2 years ago in Albuquerque. I'm in Oregon, but I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico for the International Western Music Association convention and awards. And if I'm not mistaken, that was my first exposure to you. And if I'm not mistaken, you were a finalist for, well, I don't know, little things like Best Female Vocalist and Songwriter of the Year and Best Song of the Year and Best Western Album of the Year. I made a point. I said, that's somebody I am not familiar with yet. I'm going to go make sure I see her on stage at a showcase and here and there. And of course, we just knocked over with the talent and was able to see you again this year in November in Albuquerque. And I imagine our paths will cross again someday, I hope. But if our listeners have an opportunity to check your schedule or find out that you're coming to somewhere within a car drive or a plane ride from you, they should go check out your performance.
Thank you. I scouted that, scouted that for a couple of years. And when the album came out, that was such a huge surprise to get 4 nominations from the Western Music Association. I thought, Oh, wow, they do know who I am. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I'd heard of you, but I hadn't heard you. And so I've had couple of occasions now to see you live, that was real quite talented. Absolutely. We got time for just another question or another comment or two, and then we're going to take a quick commercial break. Thank our sponsor. But talk a little bit. You said you're going to talk about your dad a little bit more and his influence. Tell us a little bit more about that.
It sounds like, you know, a strange mix that I'm talking to you from Louisiana. This is where I grew up on this property. In fact, this was my grandmother's house. And when she passed away, I bought it and it's my hideout. So I come down from Nashville and hide out here and write. But my dad was stationed in the Army in Louisiana and met my beautiful mother. And he just, he was not going to let her get away. So he married her and they raised a family here. But every summer, as I said, they took my brother and me up to Minnesota and we hung out with that family. So I grew up really with kind of this cowboy existence and the Midwestern influence and then the deeply Southern kind of William Faulkner, Tennessee Williams, Southern surrounding, if you will. So stories just, you know, became such a part of everything. Anytime you have an interesting family, you have interesting stories. And there was just always music, and we would have music on our porches on the weekends or for holidays here in the South, and it just evolved. You know, my dad was the first one to put me on a horse. It didn't turn out too well. You've seen people who can stand up on horses. I can lie down on horses. In fact, well, maybe which order was it? I got on the horse and then I was lying down. I think that's the way it went. Yeah. But I just loved that way of life. And I discovered Zane Grey and all these Western writers. And the harmonies of the Western musicians always just blew me away that they could sound like one voice. You know, they were so close in harmony. And the imagery. I will say that when I was about 4 or 5 years old, because of my asthma, moved to Arizona to try to help me get better. And And that's when I saw it with my own eyes. And I tell people the story of the first time I saw a cloud of dust approaching where we lived. And out of the dust came these wild horses. And behind them were cowboys, and they were running them into a pen. But just all colors of horses, pintos and roans and blacks. And I stood there just big-eyed, my mouth open. And I think that was the moment when I fell in love with the West.
Yeah, wonderful.
And I've been, every time I write a story, I picture that.
All right, wonderful. Well, let's do this. This is a perfect time to stop and thank our sponsor, Out West Bookshop. So why don't we do that, Sam, and then we'll come right back and we'll talk more about the music and hear some music.
Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Yeah, good deal. Well, you mentioned your youth years and up to this point. And I know you got a piano there in front of you. Well, I don't need to see it. I just know it's there. There it is, all black and white and shiny. And my understanding is you taught yourself how to play piano. Is that correct? By listening to...
That's how it started. I took a few lessons and I kept memorizing everything. I taught myself piano by listening to a Floyd Kramer album, picking up the needle and listening to it over and over. But nice. When I got to be probably in my teens, I actually took some music improv and theory. So that helped a lot.
All right. Okay. So lots of influences. So, then you mentioned Zane Grey, and I think I read in a longer bio of you that you had a complete collection of Zane Grey novels when you were still a teenager.
Mm-hmm, I did. I still have them. I have every book.
Yeah.
I was one of the few grandchildren that read, and so the grandparents gave me all the books like that.
Yeah, so. Nice. All right. Yeah. Well, we've been talking about your writing and your music, but I think it's time to hear something. Would you, you play whatever you want, but I was hoping that you could play something from the album Westbound, which I think I mentioned already, won the National Cowboy Hall of Fame and Museum Wrangler Award for Outstanding Traditional Western Album, and was also, as I mentioned, a finalist for the International Western Music Association Best Western Album. And there's a song on there which itself was a Spur Award, a Western Writers of America Spur Award. One for Best Western Song, You Ought to See Wyoming. Could you share some of that?
Sure. This is written in the style of the old trail drive songs, and was probably, I wrote this song, and this was really the song that made me decide to record Westbound. I'll do a little bit of it for you. Toby came to Texas, hired on to run the cattle. A finer cowhand I have never known. How he loved to tell us that the country didn't suit him. There was nothing about Texas could compare with his sweet home. He said, if you think that sky is blue, then you ought to see Wyoming on a clear September morning. Well, it's bluer than the sea. Someday I'm going back there at the end.
turn the spoon loose and never leave. Cause you ought to see Wyoming, yes sirree. Toby rode through Dallas with its big hotels and streetcars. He said it's fine, but it ain't no Cheyenne. And down towards San Antonio, with the rolling hills and valleys, old Toby shook his head. We heard that tale again. If you think them hills is tall, well, you ought to see Wyoming, where the Tetons hold the clouds around their snowy peaks. Someday I'm going back there at the end of all my roaming. Gonna turn this pony loose and never leave. Boys, you ought to see Wyoming. And you have to listen to the cut on the album if you want to hear how it ends.
Wow, that's wonderful. Yeah, no, that's great. That's a beautiful, beautiful song. And it I hope people do check out the album and hear the rest of it. We'll talk about how they can find that later. I'm sure it's downloadable or purchasable one way or the other, and we'll make sure at the end of the show people can know how to get that. So when you do write, and I don't know that there's a single answer to this question, it might vary from song to song, but when you write a song, is there a do they happen quickly? Do they take quite some time? And you know, is there a I'm curious, and I think a lot of people who tune into this show, because it's primarily about writing, are interested in, again, the process. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you could share about that? Is there a time of day? Is there a place? Is there a, anything you want to share about the process more?
Well, Tom, you're a poet, and I'm sure you get asked that question a lot, too. And it's like a lot of things. Some of them are just so easy, and they just flow out in 20 minutes. And others, I promise you, I've got a song that took me 10 years to finish. I would pick it up and work on it and lay it down again. I would say that if I'm really, really into a song, I can knock it out within a week. But as I said earlier, I don't get in a hurry. Some of my co-writers get a little, impatient with me because I am pretty slow writer. But they do take a while. And I-40's been really good to me, getting in a car and just, I don't even have to have an instrument around, but I can now put together a melody and lyrics without, I don't have to play piano or guitar or anything. So, just summer fast, summer not.
Do you show your work or share your work, sing your work in before it's finished? You wait till it's done.
I'm very protective about it. In fact, I don't want anyone in the house when I'm working on it. No, I don't want to play it until it's ready. It's like a secret.
Yeah. Then how do you know it's ready? I mean, I know it's ready,
I've had good fortune of working with a lot of really good Nashville songwriters and have learned some of the ways, that they do these things, that so the technical part is part of it, but mostly when I know it's ready is if it moves me when I get through, and I don't play it for a day or two and I'll go back to it, and if it kind of creates an emotion in me. And then I play it for people, and it creates emotions in them that I know that it's where it needs to be. Because technicals all aside, if it doesn't make you feel something, then it's empty. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It has to move you some.
Yeah, absolutely. Do I remember, and I apologize if I'm wrong, but do I remember you singing a song in November in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, that you wrote en route?
I did. I wrote it on the plane. Leg of the plane.
Yeah. So
yeah.
And
in DFW, Albuquerque.
Yeah, because I think I remember that particular night. I think you pulled it out. It was just, it was still on paper, of course, not memorized. And I think you shared it. That might have been the first public presentation of that song.
Actually, it was the first time I'd sung it out loud myself.
Yeah.
Because you're sitting on a plane, you can't, they'll think they'll throw you off the plane,
Yeah.
So, yeah, I literally sang it first time out loud in front of you guys.
Yeah, no, it was fabulous.
It was a fun thing.
Yeah, it was fabulous. So there's the range. You can do a song as quickly as one leg of a flight, or one that's 10 years, and everything in between. Yeah, and I agree. I've got poems that happen fairly quickly, and I've got some that I've been working on for 8 years or more, and they may never get done. But it's just the way it is, right? Yep. Well, I'd love to hear another song if you're game. And this whole album is, it's the production. I mean, you're in Nashville. You've got no shortage of high-quality players and producers and whatever. But whatever you did to put this together, I got to keep putting it out of frame. But this Westbound is so good. Every song is good, but I particularly would love to hear What a Moon, which was also a finalist for a Spur Award. If you could play some, why don't you give us some What a Moon, and if that works for you.
I will. And we had a great team. My producer, Ron Oates, is a wonderful arranger anyway, but I knew all of these guys on the album, and usually, they come in, they do the session, they leave. These guys came over to my house when we finished and listened to the finished product. And it was such a, there just seemed to be a unity in that room that everybody thought, they said, we don't get to play things like this very often. Because there's not a lot of Western music being made in Nashville right now. But that will change if I have anything to do with it. This was probably the last song I wrote for the album. In fact, just barely got finished in time for the session, actually. And got to have a Western swing song. Got to have a song about Texas. So. Porch is swept, the cows are fed, chickens have all gone to bed. I'm fluffed and buffed, ready for some fun. Park the truck at Sully's Ranch, looks like they're about to start the dance. Across the crowd I see my sweet someone. What a moon, what a Texas sky full of stars. What a cowboy that I've got here in my arms. What a way to end the day, just holding it tight. What a moon, what a cowboy, what a night. Boots are scooting, fiddles wail. Are you sure that's ginger ale? Cause all at once my heart is in a spin. When I look into those eyes of blue, see a world just made for two. How I wish this night would never end. What a what a Texas sky full of stars. What a cowboy that I've got here in my arms. What a way to end the day, just holding it tight. What a moon, what a cowboy, what a night. What a moon, what a cowboy, what a night.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. All right. Well, I'm going to shift gears.
I can't dance, but I can't dance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. If you hadn't written those short stories, we'd talk music the whole night. I'd love to hear more songs and whatever. But I need to shift gears before we run out of time and go to the fiction. So you were writing fiction, which actually led to wanting to do a Western album. So we're doing this a little bit backwards, but.
Where?
I didn't hear that. that broke up.
I was in denial. I said I had done music most of my life, and I thought, well, I'll do something different. But somehow it led me right back to music again.
Right. So where did the Vaughn McKee name, what's that all about?
The main reason I did a pen name was because I had been making music since I was barely a teenager. And I knew that if people tried to Google my fiction, they'd get all of the music stuff. So I wanted to direct them right to the stories. And another thing, I was not sure how it was going to be received or if I really wanted to do it. So I thought, well, if I use a fake name, then nobody's going to crucify me. But it wasn't rocket surgery, as a friend of mine says. I live on Vaughn Road. It's not spelled like that. And McKee is for Mickey. So, so yeah, Vaughn McKee.
Yeah.
She has a life of her own. You know, I've played many roles in my life. As you said early on, I've been a musician. I worked as an engineer. I've been a riverboat waitress, you know, lots of different things. So I thought, well, I'll just add another name to the list. You know, why not?
Yeah.
An excuse to buy more boots.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, why don't you pick something out from there and read? I mentioned before that this contains eight stories. They're so varied. I mean, the ideas, we'll talk a little bit more about where these ideas come from or whatever, but you just surprise us with something. Tell us what you're going to read and read us a little bit of your award-winning fiction.
This particular story was a finalist for the Peacemaker Award through Western Fictioneers. And I thank them for that too. But this was born out of a story that someone literally walked up and told me, a woman who came up and told me, my dad was from Louisiana, she said, and let me tell you about the first time I met him. And I took the story that she told me, and it just showed up later in this Western. But the story is called The Gunfighter's Gift. This is the opening. The stranger rode slowly, like he'd been riding for 1,000 miles. To my eyes, it seemed he just appeared from nothing, a sudden outline against the July afternoon sky. Old Jumper, the dog, raised up from his sandy spot off the end of the porch and growled deep. It was my 16th birthday. We just finished having pound cake, something we only had on special occasions. Ma stood holding 3 tin cups, still cool from the cider we drank. Daddy eased the front legs of his tip-back chair to the porch boards. He shaded his eyes and squinted in the direction Jumper's nose was pointing. When the visitor crossed Chugwater Creek, we could see he was of a thin build and wore a big light-colored Stetson that shaded his face. He rode a stocky Pinto. Daddy stood then and folded his arms. "Who is it, Henry?" Ma said, looking at him, then me. "Can you tell from here, Willie?" Dad said nothing, just stood there frowning. I shrugged. When the rider passed the row of Ma's hollyhocks at the edge of the yard, Jumper barked, started to run out, but Daddy called him back. He eased down off the Pinto like every joint in him was sore. Then he walked up within about 10 feet of the porch and took off his hat. "Henry, Florence, you looking well?" He came up to the edge of the porch where I stood with my arm around a post, looked right up at my face, reached into his shirt pocket and pulled out a blue box, kind of long and flat. I took the box from his hands and read the name on it. Borsham's, Omaha. "Happy 16th birthday, Wilhelmina," he said, his voice soft and rough at the same time. I took the top off the box and there was the first string of pearls I had ever seen. They looked like beautiful little full moons, creamy with swirls of pink and yellow and blue in the sunlight. "I know you don't remember me, Skeeter," he said. "I haven't seen you since, goodness, since she was 3 years old, Daddy said. He didn't sound very happy to see the man.
Yeah, yeah, very nice. Yeah, no, that's good stuff. You know, read the stories and then passed the book on to my wife, Carla, who you've met, and she enjoyed them. Mm-hmm. She enjoyed them too. So there's some, how would I say this? I mean, some of that stuff, that Comanche winter, I mean, that's some of that stuff. There was some frightening scenes. I mean, some
pretty gritty.
Yeah. And, but anyway, so.
Well, I think writers are like reporters. They have, our job is really to tell the way it happened and mm-hmm. not try to put our opinions in it. And that piece I just read was one of the few times that I wrote from a female perspective. Often, if you'll notice from reading the stories in that book, it's a male perspective. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is. It just seems to come that way.
Yeah, interesting.
Tell story wishes.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break here for our other sponsor, this Out West shop, and then we'll come right back and talk a little bit more about your fiction.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
All right. Very good. So are you writing something now? Are you working on more fiction? Did I hear a rumor that you might have a novel in mind or in progress?
Yes, I'm working on two contemporary short stories right now for an anthology of a writer's group in Tennessee that are friends of mine. But yes, I'm working on a novel. In fact, I have a couple on the back burner behind that. But this particular one is set near Prescott, Arizona in the 1880s. And I won't give away, but it's kind of bad luck, to talk about it. But I'm having a lot of fun writing that book.
Yeah.
It also is from the point of view of a man. So, and he's an artist. He's an adventurer.
Yeah, I don't need you to give away anything. What's coming, but it's just good news that I can look forward to reading some more from you, because I'll be anxious to do it.
To write a book, I have much respect for anyone who finishes a bad book, because it's hard to complete a book. I'm so accustomed to that short story arc of a short story or a song that getting to stretch out and write 75,000 words has been very intimidating, to be honest.
If somebody was watching tonight that has not written a book, but thinks that maybe someday they could or should, what would be your bit of initial advice to somebody?
Read really good writing, and connect with other writers if you can, and editors. Don't be afraid to ask questions. You don't have it figured out. You may decide you're going to write a book and go, you know, nobody needs to tell me anything. I got this. You don't got this. Nobody does when they first start. So you have to, there's a learning process, and you have to learn what your voice is, what stories, the kinds of stories you want to tell. And it helped me greatly to join Western Writers of America, Western Music Association people, because these friendships and connections lead to opportunities for whatever it is you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the main thing, is to learn from others, either by reading or being instructed by them. And the real trick, though, is to find your particular voice.
Okay. So...
And somebody reads it.
Yeah. So the suggestion to read, I agree with that. What are you reading? What types of things do you enjoy reading for your own personal pleasure? You still reading Westerns?
Oh gosh, I haven't. I read a lot of Westerns, actually, because I also review books, Western books for Western Writers of America's magazine Roundup. So I get to read a lot of what's new out there, and that's enlightening. But every now and then I go back and read really old things. I love things written in the early part of the 1900s. The language was so beautiful, beautifully handled in the 19-teens and 20s and 30s and 40s. And it's a lot of fun to go back and read some of those too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where can people, why don't you mention your website or what other connection, Facebook, whatever, how would people find your book and your music?
Well, the music, you can go to mickeyfurmanmusic.com, and I think the spelling of my name is like right there. mickeyfurmanmusic.com, and there's a link you can listen to the music first to see if you like it, and it's downloadable. You can, or you can order a physical CD, and I'll be happy to send you one. The fiction is vonmckee.com, V-O-N-N. Let's see what happened to the book. V-O-N-N. Is that backwards?
No, that's M-C-K-E-E. Reading correctly. No, that's reading correctly. Yeah. No, we can see that.
Good.
Yeah. All right. How about performing? Do you have musical performances on the horizon?
I do. I'm hoping that I'll be back at the Tucson Festival of Books. I will have a gig in outside of Phoenix in March. And I haven't updated the website to reflect that, but that will be there. I also have a pretty cool thing going on with some gals in Nashville, some friends of mine.
Well, I was going to
Tisha McKenna.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. And I just interrupted you, so you broke up again a little bit. So I'll let you start that over again. But yeah, tell us about that very cool thing that's going on.
There are lots of girl singers in Nashville, and we discovered that there are some Western girl singers in Nashville, and we started hanging out and shopping together and being friends, and somehow it turned into a band. So Mary Kay Holt, Tisha McKenna, and Myrna Lewis and I started a band called Gone with the West just last spring, and we did a tour over the summer, mostly house concerts, a few concert halls, and just had a blast. It was a cross between a music tour and a high school girls trip. It was just the most fun. And we are getting ready to release a single, probably in January, and eventually an album. We have our own tours that we're putting together. And then I have my own, because we're all solo performers too. So it's been quite a juggling act to get everybody's gigs lined up and when everybody's available. But we're having lots and lots of fun with that.
Yeah. Well, and you know you sound great, because you, why wouldn't you? Because you're all so talented. But I did have an opportunity to see the four of you, and in Albuquerque, and just fabulous. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing
whatever you
record. It's going to be awesome.
It's because we don't sound alike. Each individually, but somehow when we start singing harmony together, it works. And so
Yeah. Well, we've only got just a very few more minutes here before I need to wrap up and tell people about next week's show. Is there a question that you were hoping I was going to ask and I haven't asked yet, or anything that you wanted to share that we haven't touched on?
Well, you know, you being a poet, I've become very fascinated with the relationship between songs and poetry. And to me, they're not exactly the same. And that's something that I'd like to ask you. Do you think how alike do you think song lyrics and poetry are?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure.
I don't think they're a whole lot alike.
Well,
somewhat alike.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a very intelligent answer to that, because I could try. They don't necessarily relate. I don't think one is necessarily the same as others. I think some songs, if you break down a song and you look at it, those lyrics could very well be poetry. But in some poems,
sometimes
don't necessarily sing, right? And so I'm not really sure I know the answer to that. No. One thing that I am learning, I've been writing a few songs and doing some co-writing, is the freedom that I find at times in the songwriting. Now, I write traditional style Western poetry, which tends to be metered and rhymed. And I enjoy the constraints of writing in a pattern, in a mathematical. If I set out a mathematical formula to write, I stick to that. And that, to me, that's challenging, and I enjoy that. Songs don't necessarily need to do that. That may be arguable, some people might say. But to be able to not necessarily rhyme, to do assonance rhymes that not end rhymes, and there's a lot of freedom sometimes in songwriting, stretching out pauses and so on and so forth. So I'm not sure that I really know the right answer to that. Similar but different has been my experience, and I'm enjoying the freedom of songwriting. Yeah.
Good. Well, to me, really good poetry moves me, and I can't explain why. It's kind of like, well, you see combinations of words together that you've never really seen before, but somehow it just creates a real, really deep emotion in you. And you're right about the structure, I think, is maybe one of the terms you're talking about with songs. And I even challenged myself, I'm going to write a song with a totally different structure than I've ever written before. It's going to be little short lines, and then one long one, and little short lines, and a long one. And, you know, we're not married to the same kinds of meters that traditional poets are.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that we're related. You know, we're siblings.
Yeah.
Songwriters and poets.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. All right. Well, you've been a delightful guest, and I'm glad it worked out. And we got to hear you. You carried a keyboard all the way to Louisiana just for this show. I imagine you had one with you anyway. Maybe you're probably not too far away from an instrument. But I want to thank Bobby Jean.
I have more than one.
I'm sorry, didn't hear that. Oh, you have more than one piano? Yeah, probably do. Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit.
I have a grand piano.
Oh, you have a grand piano?
Okay. I said I have lots and lots.
Okay, all right, got it. Well, I want to thank Bobby Jean and Jim Bell for inviting me to sit in again. This is, I think, the fifth or maybe sixth time I've done this, and it's always a pleasure when they entrust me with their show. And I've been very fortunate to have had yeses from the guests, such as Mickey, when I invite them to be my guest. And that just makes it easy for me, makes it fun to visit with people who I have discovered or have known for years, depending on the circumstances, and share a little bit about their writing process and their writing history, and to be able to hear, and tonight to be able to hear some fiction and to be able to hear some award-winning songs. So I really appreciate that, Mickey, and I want to let Bertie know that next week Bobby Jean and Jim will be back for the January 4th show, the next episode Thursday night next week, where their guest will be Mike Toriano, the author of Fireflies at Dusk. And also on that show will be Henry Park, the film editor of True West magazine, updating us on some things that are going on in film right now. And you know what we should do? Can you play Happy Birthday? You should sing Happy Birthday to Bobby Jean Bell's 100-year-old mother. Can you take us out with a little happy birthday? And then at the magic moment, in about 1 minute, Sam will sign off. Can you do it?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Bobby Jean's mama. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. you, Bobby Jean and Jim. Be careful out there. Thank you, Tom.
All right. Good night, all. Bye.